going to see a theme. Angels are mentioned in each one. Now, the bigger theme is what? Jesus rose from the dead. But it's really interesting. Angels are in every time. Women are in every one too, actually. And just a question, you don't need to raise your hand. Have you ever seen an angel? In fact, okay, I'm seeing some. How many of you think you have actually literally, I mean, you know it, you saw an angel? Okay, there is a few. Probably all of us have in some way, just didn't know it. When my uncle was probably around 30 years of age, one of his sons drank poison. I don't know, it was up, something underneath the sink, whatever, and they rushed him to the hospital. But, you know, they needed to move quickly. They didn't call an ambulance. And so Uncle Dave got on the main highway, and he's behind a semi. And he looked around. Nobody was coming. And he went, you know, and floored it. And all of a sudden, the steering wheel whipped out of his hands and put him back behind the semi. And he was looking actually at his hands thinking, what just happened? And then a car went by going the other way. Now, who did that? Jesus, amen. And maybe he used an angel. I don't know. Tom Einen was a missionary that we supported. I don't see if you remember the story. They went into China and they were carrying in Bibles. And then they were carrying some stuff out that legally they could get arrested for, put into prison for. There was three of them. And so they each went into a different line trying to get back from China into Hong Kong. And so they all stand in line saying, oh, Lord, please help, 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 help. And a Chinese soldier came up to one of them. Now, in America here, we go, you know, we point and we do one of these. In China, they don't do that. They point and then they put their hand upside down from our perspective. And went up to Tom, pointed, and said, come with me. And Tom, they know. And then they went to the next line, got the next guy, pointed to him, come with me. They really know. Went to the next guy, pointed to him, come with me. And so now these three are following this Chinese soldier, thinking this is it. And the Chinese soldier takes them to a tunnel, points them to go into this tunnel. They walk into this tunnel, and when they come out the other side, they're in Hong Kong. And they turn around to thank the soldier, and he's not there. Let's stand and read God's word. This is from all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just follow along as I read. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, who once was a prostitute, and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake for, and say it with me, an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. I'll keep going. And going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, probably weighed 8 tons or so, they think, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I think he was probably the practical joker of the group, not sure. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. Guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Say it with me. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Then the Gospel of Mark. But when they, that's the women, looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw, say it with me, a young man, huh, because angels can look like people, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, probably the head, sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. Why? Because Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Give a special message to Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you. On the first day of the week, Gospel, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found that the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, say it with me, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here." You hear a theme there. "He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over again to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And in the last gospel, Gospel of John on the back. "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw," say it with me, "two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot." Let's pray. Father, thank you that the theme is so strong. The stone was rolled away. It was the first day of the week. The women came and took the spices. The angels came down. The stone rolled back. The guards fell down like dead men. Jesus' body was raised from the dead in glory and honor and power. And over again, "He's not here. He's not here. He's not here. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Hallelujah. Go, tell his disciples. He'll meet you in Galilee." Father, here on Easter Sunday, help us worship Jesus Christ. It's who the angels worship. And Lord, help us also understand who these messengers are and the place they play. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, keep us from getting weird, because we're never, ever supposed to worship an angel or pray to an angel, actually even seek angels. But Lord, if they show up, open our eyes like Elisha prayed for the servant. Lord, show him that there's more with us than are with them. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you that the angels, according to 1 Corinthians 11, are watching us right now as we worship, and help us to worship you better as a result. Help us to know that you protect, you guide through your word, through your spirit, through your people, and even through your servants, the angels. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Dave, I didn't ask you to do it, but so if you're a guest, don't feel any pressure at all. But let's do this as God's word. I'm going to use my bulletin insert. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be like Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Give each other a tap or hug or yeah, bump. We okay? As modern Americans, I did that for a reason, putting that, I mean, there's the four gospel accounts. When we read this as Americans, we go, well, the Bible has errors. Matthew says there was one angel, as does Mark. Luke and John say there were two angels. Matthew says the one angel was sitting on a stone. Mark says the other angel was on the right-hand side in the tomb. Luke says there was two men inside. And John says one was at the front head and one was at the foot. So who's right? Who said yes? There was a British lawyer who did not believe in Jesus. And there was an American detective who did not believe in Jesus. And these two separately said, you know what? We're going to look at the gospel accounts like we would a lawyer and a detective would. And how would this stand up in the courtroom? Because there's all these errors. There's all these disagreements. So let me use an analogy. You're in a convenience store. It's around 10 o'clock at night. And a guy comes in with a hoodie, has a pistol in his hand, and says, "Everybody freeze, nobody gets hurt." He grabs the money from the cashier and runs out and gets into a car. Now you are called to be a witness. And you say, there's a guy in just what I just described to you. But there was somebody else in the store, and they said, he wasn't holding a pistol, he was holding a crowbar. And it wasn't One guy out in the car. There were two guys also in the car in the back seat. Now, did the guy have a pistol or did the guy have a crowbar? Possibly both. Possibly one. You got to figure it out. But was the store robbed? Did the guy get away? Was there one angel? Was there two angels? Was there three angels? Don't know. But there were angels. Was the body still there? No. Did the stone get rolled back? Were the women the ones who first saw it? Now, I just want you to think like a first century person now. Women's, sorry ladies, can't trust a lady, you know. They see things. Talk, talk, talk. Their testimony was not received or allowed in the courts of that day. So if you're going to try to put a story together and fabricate it to make Jesus look good, who would you have the angels appear to? Peter and the boys. Who said, huh? This book is real, and it's raw, and it's good, and it's true. Nobody would come up with a story like that. Now, wait a minute. Matthew and Luke use 85% of what Mark said, and yet they don't do it verbatim. Do you know what the lawyer and the detective, another thing they concluded? That if you are in a courtroom, and every witness you ask questions for, they all say the same thing. He had a hoodie, he had a pistol, and he got out in the car that drove away. These guys have talked to each other. But when they get a little bit of different nuances, you all were there. You all saw things from a little bit different angle. And when we listen to everything, we put it together. Hallelujah. And so the big point is, we have sign-ups. I don't think that was it. The big point is, hallelujah, Jesus rose from the... Secondly, the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. Third, angels in gleaming white clothing. Everybody talked about brightness, white like snow, like lightning. It was bright. And also, why did the women believe? Was it because they had great faith? No! They didn't have any faith at all. What did they have? Love. And because they had love, God gave them faith. Hallelujah. Go after God. I don't know if I have enough faith. Don't worry about that. Just love God. Faith will come. Why did the men believe, Peter and John in particular? Because they had great faith? No. They were inquisitive. They check this thing out. I don't think these women are seeing straight. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk about angels for a second. There's actually very little. You go to the Christian bookstore, there's very little written about angels. There's a lot written about demons, Satan, not much about angels. So where'd they come from? Well, God created them. It's what it says in the scriptures over and over again. And God made the heavens and the earth and the hosts thereof. Host means armies, talking about the angels. Now, when did God do it? We don't know. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Some rabbis taught this. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, God made the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over it. Some ancient rabbis actually taught that God made the angels and the heavens and the earth, and then Satan fell, and that destroyed the earth, and that's why it was formless and void. So it could be way before Genesis chapter 1. Or it could be sometime during that first week. We don't know. Interesting, but we know God created them. Now, when did Satan fall? We don't know. Doesn't say. But he fell. You read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, and it's talking about the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14 and the king of Tyre in Ezekiel 28. But as it's talking about these great kings who were just swelled up with pride, it starts talking about Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan, the anointed cherub, You were perfect in all of your ways till pride was found within you, and you wanted to exalt yourself above God. You had the sin of both covetousness and pride. You wanted what God had. We don't know when that happened, but we know it did happen. Now, is Satan as powerful as God? You know the yin-yang thing? You know that squiggly S with black on one side, white on the other, and a little black dot in the white side, and a little white dot in the black side? That is a lot of people thinking, well, they're good and evil, and they're kind of equaled out, and there's a little bit of good and evil, and there's a little bit of evil and good. And isn't it interesting? We don't know. We know that God created him. We don't know when. We don't know when he fell, but we do know this. God is a whole lot more powerful than Satan. Jesus is just going to speak the word. Michael, now this is going to get weird now. Michael in Jude verse 9, was arguing with Satan over Moses' body. And it says that Michael did not rebuke Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." What does that teach us? Well, the point of the passage is that Michael, who's called the archangel, in other words, head of the whole group, Satan must have been above him. Because even Satan in his sin, Michael had to say, "Sir, yes, sir, you are wrong, and I rebuke you in the name of the Lord." And the point is, you know, sometimes, "I can't believe my husband said that." Well, if Michael couldn't rebuke Satan, "Oh, my teachers at school, oh, my boss." If Michael showed respect to Satan, "Well, I can't believe our president, oh, I don't know about our Congress, those politicians." If Michael showed respect to Satan, that's the point. But then you read Revelation 19 and 20. Who grabs Satan by the scruff of the neck and puts a heavy chain on him? Michael. God says, "All right, Michael, now's the time. You can do it." And so Jesus, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are much more powerful than Satan. Now, how many angels are there? The Bible really tells us. It's, what's that? Multitudes. Innumerable. Thousands upon thousands. 10,000 times 10,000. A lot. A bunch. And are there more demons than there are angels? How many think there might be probably, I mean, when you read the Gospels, how many think there's more demons than there are angels? How many are afraid to raise their hand? Good job. Do you know? In Revelation chapter 12, it says the dragon, talking about Satan, took his tail and swept a third of the stars and flung them to earth. Stars and the word angel are connected. Probably only one third of the angels fell. In other words, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. The oldest son got how much of the inheritance? Twice as much as all the others. This is my personal belief. I know right now the road is narrow and the gate is small and few there be that find it. But I believe that one day Jesus Christ is going to stand on this earth and he's going to rule and reign and it's going to be better than the Garden of Eden. And if just the average family has 6 kids in 1,000 years, this earth, if just 2 people make it into the millennium, we'll have 287 million people. I believe during the millennium there will be more people seeing Jesus for who he really is than will have lived in all the entire human history. I believe there's going to be twice as many people in heaven as there will be in hell. I really do. So how many times are there obviously more angels than there are demons? Angels are talked about in the Bible 290 times. Demons, 82. Woo! So how come we have, you go to the Christian bookstore, go to my library, all these books on Satan, demons, and I have 3 books on angels. And that's all I could find. No, 2, sorry. Demons, angels, 290. Demons, 82. Satan, 47. Jesus, 1,310. Woo! I don't know. Do you think there might be a picture here, a message? So how many are there? There we go. Now, what are angels like? When you look through Scripture, they're like a lot of things. It depends. Number one, they are really, really smart. They know a lot of stuff. They probably know a lot of stuff about you and me. I mean, don't you think Satan knows a lot about you? And don't you think angels might know more? Because they love you. They're looking for your good, not just to trip you up. They're really smart, but they're not omniscient because they don't even know when Jesus is coming back. I wonder if they really understood when Jesus came down and died for us on the cross. We know from 1 Peter chapter 2, they long to look into salvation. They don't really understand it. They're really smart, but they're not omniscient. They're really strong, but they're not all-powerful. I mean, how strong is an angel? I don't know. That one angel by himself rolled a stone back that weighed 8 tons. That sounds pretty strong to me. How many angels did it take to kill the firstborn in Egypt? One. How many angels did it take to kill the 185,000 Assyrians that were surrounding Jerusalem? One. How many angels would it take to bring America to its knees? One. But God says specifically, they're not all powerful. Only He is. Oh, sorry. Well, whatever. Okay. Like I said, they are really quick. So I'm not sure, but you look at this, I'm sure of. And when you look at the Bible, there's a word that's often associated with angels, and it's the word suddenly. You're like, boom, oh, whoa, boom, oh. Like, was the guy on the to me, I think he was the practical joker, like, watch this. And all these guys fall down like dead men. And then the ladies show up, and he said, why are you looking? And then they go in the tomb. There he is again. How did he do that? You know, they can go through walls just like Jesus did, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe there were three of them. I'm not sure. They're really quick, but they're not everywhere at once. Because, oh, this is amazing. Michael tells Daniel, your prayers were heard, and Daniel prayed and fasted for 3 weeks, and I was sent to you immediately. But I had to battle the prince of Persia. I had to battle demons, and they kept me from getting to you for 3 weeks. They're really beautiful. Now, sometimes when you read the description, it doesn't sound too beautiful. I mean, they have a face like an ox and like a eagle and like a lion and like a man, and they have these six wings and there's eyes all over the wings. When I see artist conceptions, that it doesn't look so good to me. But when people are on their deathbed and they see the angels, what do they say? It's beautiful. The colors, the sound. Moody, E.L. Moody said when he was dying, if this is death, it is sweet. Amen. And they really love God, and they really love people. They really do. They're like the friends of the... They can't wait to see somebody get saved. They can't wait to be able to protect and guard. They can't wait till we sing with them up in heaven. They love us. They love God, but they don't get married. They're very protective of God's glory, honor, and holiness. Remember at the end of Revelation, John is just overwhelmed with all he sees in the heavenly city coming down. And he bows down and he worships the angel who's been his guide and mentor, his teacher through this whole thing. And what does the angel say? Don't do that! Worship God! I'm only a fellow servant! Wow, that's good. See, now at the end of the sermon, when you tell me good sermon, I go, mm-hmm, that's right. Oh, Lord, get a hold of me. Don't do that! That was God! Amen? Worship Him! You can still tell me good sermon. They're very obedient. They're very humble. Psalm, it's in your notes. Psalm 130, it's in your notes. It says, praise the Lord, O you His angels. You, His mighty ones, they're powerful, who do His bidding and obey His word. Wow. They're over us. One day, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, one day we will be over them. Now, does that make sense? That's what it says. Michael, the archangel, is going to be underneath us. And Michael, the archangel, is going to be good with us. Because we're the bride. Jesus is the groom. When my sister got married to her husband, was I jealous and go, huh, taking my spot? No. I was happy for my sister. Just fly with me for a second, a little bit by faith. We're going to see in a little bit that angels watch us while we worship. And they sing to Jesus now, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And they're going, I wish I could sing like you. Because when you sing that, he actually died for you. He didn't die for me. When you sing by faith. I can't sing by faith. I've seen the Father. I've seen the glory. And he loves it when you sing by faith. Last week in the Sunday school class, we were in Revelation here in this class here, and we looked at the mark of the beast, and please, Lord, may the rapture be true, and may he take us out before the tribulation. But tribulation is happening all around the world, and people are dying for their faith. They're being put in little cages and not fed food in Sudan. You know, they're being martyred in Syria. And as the angels are standing and guarding and crying, they're going, I wish I could do that. That's a gift I cannot give our Father. One day, we will reign over the angels. Amen. And the angels are good with that and are wanting us to do the best job we can. And they can change appearance. That's in the Bible. Sometimes they look like just an average guy. Other times, they look like a lion, or they look like a eagle flying in the sky. Sometimes they have six wings with all covered eyes, and sometimes they just have two wings, and sometimes they have no wings. And I don't understand. I don't know. Billy Graham told the story of a famous neurosurgeon. Had a long, long day, and he lived in Philadelphia, and it had been snowing. And he just wanted to go to bed, and there was a knock at the door, and there was this little girl, 9 years old, who said, my mom's dying. Could you please come and help? And so he followed her, walking through the streets, through the snow, to this house. And here was a mother who had pneumonia. And he got her medical help, saved her life. And the doctor said, ma'am, I really have to compliment you on how you raised your daughter. Just her boldness and her love and her perseverance. And the woman got a strange look on her face and said, my daughter died a month ago. And he goes to the daughter's bedroom, and there hanging in the bedroom was a red coat that was the kind of coat that little angel had, but there was not a drop of snow or wetness on it. They can appear as God wants them to appear. What's their job? Here we go. Number one, to worship God. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 6, they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And then you read Revelation 4, and they're still saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God who was and is to come. The whole earth is full of His glory. And I love, I've shared this before, but some of you might not have heard, E.V. Hill, good old black pastor shared this. He said, aren't they getting bored? I mean, seeing the same thing for centuries? Holy, 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 goodness sakes. I mean, he said, no, this is what it is. God does something. They go, holy, 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 and they fall down. And by the time they get back up, God's doing something else. Oh, holy, holy. There, they love it. The word seraphim, and the only time we see the name seraphim is only once. Is it Acts? I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 6. And seraphim means the burning ones or the loving ones. And the seraphim are, well, we'll get into that. They're above throne, but all the angels worship. They want to bring God's message. The word angel, see, the Bible uses words that mean something. We just, you know, my name's Ken. What does that mean? Some say it means handsome. Others say it means smart. I mean, take your pick, huh? My parents, when they name me, okay, never mind. But when God names them, there's a meaning. Seraphim, that's a meaning. The burning ones, the loving ones, the angels, the messengers. They love to send a message. They give specific directions. Have you seen that in Scripture? To Samson's parents, don't let him eat anything from a grape. He's going to be strong. To Gideon, go ahead. I want you down to 300 soldiers. I mean, they give specific directions. They help believers get the message out. They tell Daniel, this is what you saw, and this is what's going to be. And we're still using the things that angels told Daniel to understand end times. Hallelujah. They tell the women, go tell the disciples, he's not here. He's risen, just like he said. He'll meet you in Galilee. He tells Philip, hey, let's get alongside this Ethiopian eunuch and listen to what he's saying. Hey, Peter, let's go over to Cornelius and tell him the gospel. It's just so neat. Oh, ah. Okay. No, okay. Did I say Ken means smart? I shouldn't. Yes, I did. Is that where we are? What's their job? They guard the... I feel like I'm really lost. Wow, man, this thing's... Is that it? Ah, yeah, it looks better. Okay, they proclaim the gospel themselves. Now, I have heard this, and maybe you've heard it too. Do angels share the gospel? A big point that I've heard preached and used to think is that angels never share the gospel. That's our job. And that's true. It's not the full story. We'll get there in a second. But I mean, come on. Cornelius, this Roman centurion, is praying and praying and praying, and an angel shows up and says, I want you to send some guys to Peter and give you a message. I mean, why didn't the angel just say, Cornelius, here's the deal? I mean, he had Cornelius' attention. And when the angel lifted up Philip to talk to the Ethiopian eunuch, why didn't he just appear to the Ethiopian eunuch himself? Because it's our job. And can you imagine that angel standing next to Cornelius? I can't tell you. It's going to be Peter's job, and I'd love to tell you, but it's going to be Peter's job. Can you imagine the angels as we're sitting next to somebody or we're supposed to share something, and they're going, say it, we can't, you can. However, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 14, verse 6, an angel is flying around the sky, and is saying to every tribe, tongue, and nation, and it says specifically, preaching the gospel, saying, repent! The hour of his judgment has come! Fear God, who's made heaven and earth! And the angel's going, ah, finally! But until now, whose job is it? Ours. So they're to worship, they bring God's message, they guard. The word cherubim means the covering ones or the guarding ones. They guard God's stuff. When Adam and Eve sinned, he pushed them out of the garden so they wouldn't eat the tree of life and live forever in a sinful state. And what did he put with a flaming sword? A cherubim. And the Ark of the Covenant, what was formed? Two golden cherubim on top of the altar. They guard God's stuff, God's throne room. They guard God's people. Psalm 91, we'll get to this at the end. He will give his angels charge over you. This is a great story, and I've heard this more than once. Things like this happening. There was a group of people, guys, who went over to Africa on a mission trip. And in this church, they had a men's breakfast. And during this men's breakfast, one of the guys said, man, I feel like our team's in danger over there in Africa. I think we should pray, you know, for their safety. And so they gathered together and they, you know, I guess locked arms or whatever, and they prayed, Lord, please protect, protect, protect. Meanwhile, over in Africa, remember there's like, what, a 12-hour difference It was nighttime. And these men from the mission team, without them knowing it, were surrounded by a group of bandits who were going to kill them, rob them. They were rich Americans. The next day, being Sunday, during the services, some of these bandits got saved. And they said, "Who are those guys that were surrounding you last night? They were big. And they all had swords. We're going to kill you." And the guy said, "We don't know. Must have been angels." And then they hear that their home church really felt led to pray. And so they said, "How many men did you see around us?" And they said, 12. And guess how many guys were praying? 12. They're sent to protect God's people. They're sent to patrol the earth. That's in Zechariah. Eddie Rickenbacker was a famous pilot, and in World War II was shot down and missing. I forget for how many days. The nation prayed for him. The mayor of New York asked for special prayer and fasting. And they're out on this raft, out in the middle of the ocean, out at nowhere. And all of a sudden, a seagull shows up. And the seagull lands on Eddie Rickenbacker's head. Now, you have to know something about seagulls. They don't have to land on your head to make it out in the ocean. They can float very well, thank you. And sorry about this part of the story. Eddie Rickenbacker reached up and gently grabbed the seagull and wrung its neck. Sorry. And they ate it. Saved their lives. Angels protect. And Eddie Rickenbacker put his faith in Jesus Christ because of that. He said, "That just doesn't happen." And they war against demons. Hallelujah. And one day they're going to win that war. So what's their job? To worship God, to bring God's message. They guard, especially the cherubim seem to be guarding, and they execute God's judgment. I need an illustration. Caleb and Josh, if you two could stand up. I say Caleb, Manny, Ryan, sorry. Okay. Ryan and Josh, I'm sorry, you're the mugger. You're the muggy. Okay. Point at him. Oh, yeah. Now, Ryan, all things being equal, is very scared. All right. Now, I'm the police. Freeze. Now, who's scared? Wait a minute. Yeah. All of a sudden, Josh is scared and Ryan isn't. We have to understand the same angel that came down and moved the stone away and caused the men, the guards, to fall down like dead men, said to the women, "Don't be afraid." Amen. Thank you. Same angels who protected Lot and his family to bring them out. The angels say, "We can't do anything until you are removed from the city." And the angels, it says, are the ones who brought the fire down. These angels are God's bodyguards. They're God's crack troops. They're the Army Rangers, the Navy SEALs. And come Judgment Day, when Gabriel or Michael, we don't know, shouts and blows the trumpet, the angels, it says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that Jesus is coming back with his mighty angels in flaming fire. And they're going, if you have not asked Jesus to become Lord of your life, they're going to grab you by the scruff of your neck, it says in Scripture, and throw you into hell. And you're not going to be able to outrun them. You're not going to be able to outtalk them. You're not going to be able to outsmart them. One angel could bring Egypt down. One angel could bring Assyria down. One angel can throw you into hell very easily. Amen. Get saved. Get saved. And they minister to Jesus. Have you noticed that? At his birth, they're telling Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, the Magi. Hallelujah. After he's born, they tell Joseph and the Magi, you know, to flee and how Herod's going to try to kill him. After Jesus fasts for 40 days, it says angels, plural, minister to him. In the garden, oh, think about this. It says after he said, not my will, but your will be done. And he's sweating drops of blood. It says an angel came to minister to him. And then when Peter pulls out the sword and cuts off Malchus's ear, what does Jesus say? Peter, put up your sword. Don't you think I can call 12 legions? You know, sometimes the Bible just kind of uses picturesque language. And sometimes I wonder if Jesus didn't mean 12 legions. Rome at that time had 28 legions. With just 4 legions, they conquered the Jews. With just 4. Jesus said he had 12. 12 is a neat number. Now, the average Roman legion had 6,000 soldiers. Very interesting how they did it. They figured out, see, Alexander conquered the world because he invented the 20-foot-long spear. It's kind of hard to get to a guy when he's 20 feet away. And the row behind them has their spear. You have 4 points of spears to get to. Romans figured something out. All we got to do is go sideways. And they all go like this, and then we come the other way. And you had your fresh troops, the new guys, up front so they could learn how to fight, number one, and also get killed, number two. But then you had more seasoned guys and more seasoned guys, and they had rows too. And it kept the guys up front from turning around because you had experienced guys behind you. It was an interesting system. But anyway, the Romans... The average legion had 6,000 soldiers. With another 6,000. Cavalry, guards, laborers, cooks. The average Roman legion was 12,000. Jesus says, I have 12 legions. How many is that? 144,000. How did the angels feel when they beat Christ and slapped him and said, prophesy? How were they able to stand back as they whipped him and pounded the crown of thorns into his head? How were they able to contain themselves when they nailed him to the cross and lifted him up and spat in his face? How can you imagine what that was like? And can you imagine what it was like when God says, I need 2 or 3 of you. Just that's all we need to guard Jesus' body. Pick me. What a privilege. We don't even know their name. Okay. And then they come back with Jesus. They're worshiping Jesus now. It's a big deal. What's their rank and order? We talked about that a little bit. There's Michael, the archangel. It says, you are one of the princes. So seemingly there are more than one archangel, but Michael's the only one we know. The living creatures, they're the guys with an ox, an eagle head, a lion's head, and a man's head. Kind of symbolizing all of creation worships Jesus. All of creation was made by Jesus. Ox, the strongest beast that's domesticated. Lion, the king of the animals, the jungle, say. Eagle, king of the birds. And man, king of creation. And then there's the cherubim. That means to cover and to guard. The living creatures, the seraphim, seem to be above God's throne. The cherubim are actually below God's throne. And Satan was called the anointed cherub. We don't know all that they do, but they're also called the chariots of God. They seem to be God's crack troops. They're also called the host of heaven. Host means armies. And you see in Scripture a lot of times that Jesus has been exalted upon all thrones and powers and dominions and authorities. It seems to be talking about an angelic order. They're also called sons of God, the Holy Ones, spirits, and the watchers. And only 3 are named. Michael, Gabriel, and Satan, or Lucifer. Now, what are we supposed to do with this? This is interesting. a lot of truths in the Bible are just laid out there, and the Holy Spirit leads us on how to apply it. When it comes to angels, we're told specifically how to apply it. Very interesting. Number one, don't get weird. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that, please. Don't get weird. Please. I know some of you need to hear that twice. Tell it again. Don't get weird. Nowhere are we told to pray to angels. We're told specifically don't worship them. We're nowhere are we told to seek them. It's just like, be aware if they show up. Have faith that they show up. Let God be God on this. But don't get weird. Now, I have woes, W-O-E-S, we'll look in a second, but I realize there is one scripture that I did not give you. We'll do the woes. The real woes, W. Get worshipful. Picture the angels. Look at this. I want to read the scripture. Hebrews 12. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels. If you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you have now approached God on his heavenly throne with thousands upon thousands of angels. Yeah, but I don't like that song. Can you imagine what this is? Why do they have to sing that on Easter Sunday? The angels are going, what? I want you. And let's read the next one. Revelation 5, verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, say it with me, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Hallelujah. I want you to start picturing that. I've been getting into a thing which I've been really enjoying is praying over our service on Saturday night. And I get to be here by myself and I get to shout and do stuff that probably would freak some of you out. But anyway, I'm seeing angels. And see, even when I say that, like, oh, no, not real angels or not physically, but I can see them. I can see them dancing in here with me. I can see them, yeah, woo-hoo-hoo! Now, if you're more of the quiet type, you'll probably see your angels going, that's good. Thank you. I mean, your angels might only do this. So, yeah, I don't care. It's good. Can you see it? Angels are with us. It says that. Matthew chapter 18. They behold the face of their Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So get worshipful. Angels would love to be able to worship like you and I do because Jesus actually died for us. Amen. Secondly, get obedient. Get obedient. 1 Timothy 5, Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the sight of God in Christ Jesus. Well, that makes sense to us. And what? The elect angels. Because they're watching. They're called the watchers. To keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. And then Paul just gives us one liner, really weird. 1 Corinthians 11. In this culture, now, the women are starting to say, hey, we're equal in Christ, and women and men are equal in Christ. Amen? They are. But there needs to be this authority thing going on. And women were taking off their head covering, which would be kind of like you women taking out off your wedding ring when you go to church. Because, boy, in Jesus, you don't have to tell me what to do. That's what was going on. And Paul says, it's for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head. And in our culture, ought to wear her wedding ring. Why? Because of the angels. Because they're watching. When my uncle, same one who had the steering wheel pulled out of his hands, was 48 years old, he was out in the woods with a tractor front end loader, and he was pushing on a dead tree. He was told he shouldn't do that, but it was just a little guy, and he was pushing on it, and it snapped. It came down, hit him in the head, killed him instantly. Now, I believe it was his time to go. The same God who had an angel pull that steering wheel could have had that tree just fall a couple inches one way or the other. One of his sons talked to me. This is like, I think it was right after the funeral. And he said, can Dad see me? I said, bro, I don't know. I know in Revelation they have an idea of what's going on earth. I don't know whether he can see you specifically. But in between the lines, I think, you know what he was saying?
I do things I shouldn't do. He can't see that, can he?
Aren't we terrible? God can see you. Yeah, but he... You know what? God can see you, and the angels can... Oh, sorry, you should not do that. Don't look at my life. And the angels can see you. They are watching you. What you say, I believe what you think, what you do. They're cheering for you. They're trying to bolster you up. And then when you go away from God, they're going, ah! So get worshipful, get obedient. Third, get encouraged. Look at this. For he will command his angels, Psalm 91, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. One time, this was when Jen and I were dating, and we were with a big group from college, and we were there in West Virginia State Park, and we were just getting off the trail and going down this mountain, and somebody from further up hit a rock that was, I don't know, probably a 4 or 5 pound rock, about, you know, 5-6 inches in diameter. And so the others of us that were further down the trail were kind of in danger. And when the rock came towards me, I was near at the bottom, it hit something else and popped up and went way over my head. Matthew 18, Jesus said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Amen. This whole idea of guardian angel, it's based on Scripture. I mean, I personally believe we probably have a demon assigned to us. So don't you think we might have some angels? Now, wait a minute, how many more angels are there than demons? Maybe we got two. Maybe we got three. Hallelujah. And then Luke 16, wonderful. Jesus said, "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side." Sue, I'm not remembering exactly, but your grandfather was afraid of dying. Pastor came, shared Jesus with him. And he had like really Parkinson's and his hands were all gnarled up. And as right before he took his last dying breaths, his hands released and became supple. And he told his wife, "It's beautiful." You might remember Elizabeth Elliot, married to Jim Elliot and Nate Saint. And there was three others, missionaries that went to the Aka Indians in South America. This was in early 1960s. And this they were trying to reach these Aka Indians who were Stone Age Indians who had no contact with the civilized world, and they hung gifts in the trees, and they eventually had made contact, but they made a cultural mistake. As they're trying to establish contact with the Indians, they reached out their hand to shake hands. Stone Age Indians don't shake hands. And the Stone Age Indians are thinking, they're trying to feel how fat we are so they can eat us. They really did. And so they killed all five missionaries. Missionaries didn't give up, and they kept trying to make contact, and finally they did, and the Indians confessed, and they said, "We want to die like that." And the missionaries like, "What do you mean?" They said, "We want to die like that. Because after we killed them, this bright light came and we saw angels lifting each of them up and carrying them into the sky. We want to die like that." Hallelujah. Get encouraged. Corrie Ten Boom tells a story. She and her family hid Jews in Holland during World War II and they got caught. Her dad died. Her brother died. Her sister died. But she and her sister at this point had made it to Ravensbrück, this awful concentration camp. And you go in and you have to strip off all of your clothes. And then you're just given a shirt, a shabby shirt to wear. And right at this point, she felt she had to go to the bathroom. She asked the guard, "Can I go to the bathroom?" And the guard pointed to a room. And so she went to the, and it was just a little hole in the floor, but her sister came with her. And she said, "Let's take off our underwear and roll it up and put our Bible inside the underwear. And I'll hide it underneath my dress." Like, that's going to work? They get back in the line. There's two women checking each woman. And when Corrie Ten Boom steps up to be checked, They look at her and they let her go. And she has this big bulge of their underwear and a Bible. They check Betsy out. And Corey's like, wow, what just happened? And then they go into the next part, and there's another two women. As they go walk outside, they have to be checked again. Again, the women, it's like they didn't even see Corey. And there's Psalm 91. I'll give my angels charge over you. And Corey said, Lord, now that I know that you've sent your angels to guard us, I can take the horrors of the concentration camp. Be encouraged. Third, get saved. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then Jesus says in Matthew 13, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. One day, this is going to happen. Get right with Jesus, because you're not going to be able to outrun that angel when he comes for you. But if you get right with Jesus, he will carry you up. And you'll go, oh, you look familiar. You've been in my life all the time, haven't you? And go, oh, I was there when you got saved. I was jumping up and down. I was there when you got born. I was there when that rock almost hit you in the head. I was there. Oh. I think you're going to have quite a conversation between here and heaven, talking to that angel as he carries you up. And why did you ever, you know. There's one other scripture that I didn't give that after we made the PowerPoint. It's Hebrews 13, verse 2. Another command has to do with angels. It says, entertain or welcome strangers. Reach out to the outcast. Reach out to the person. Like Jesus said, whenever you do this to the least of these, you do it to me. The prisoner, the sick, the stranger, the visitor, the person that's not in his comfort zone. Practice hospitality to strangers, because you know that people have done that and entertained angels. So the next bum you see, the next homeless person, the next person that's a little bit of a social outcast might not be a person. Do you believe that? Back in, I think it was 1996, Promise Keepers just on a great movement from God. They had a pastors conference. So it was just pastors. And they met in the stadium at Atlanta, Georgia. And you know that they had done a lot of praying. I just don't want to stop here. Some of you, when you pray, have prayed, and Lord, bring down your holy angels. Now, I'm enough of a Baptist from my background that freaks me out. Where's that in the Bible? Did you see it? It's all over. Angels beat demons 2-1. In Scripture, they're referenced 3-1. Come on, Ken. It says it all. Don't pray to an angel, but ask God. Send down your angels. And I bet there were some charismatic guys who were praying for angels. I forget who the speaker was. But he asked all these pastors to shout out their church name. You know, you Baltimore Community Church, Chapel of Akron, blah, blah, blah. And it was pandemonium. He says, then he asked, but who died for us? Do it with me. But who died for us?
Jesus.
Who's coming back?
Jesus.
Who loves you?
Jesus.
And there's this unity. My cousin's pastor was there. Now, if you ever went to a Promise Keepers thing, they did a great job. They really organized stuff, and they had boxed lunches, and that's what they had for the pastors. And so it was lunchtime, and he gets his box lunch, and he ate it, and then he has to go to the bathroom. And he goes back, and he's you know underneath the stadium part, and there were these two black maids that were there, you know, cleaning, and they said, "Oh, do you think there's any boxed lunches left?" Now, he's a white guy, and he's a pastor, and he's a Christian. He smiled and go, oh, I'll go check. And as he turns around to go check, he thinks, typical, 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 always looking for a handout. He gets up to the table where they're passing out box lunches. He says, do we have enough box lunches left for these two black ladies? And the guys at the table go, what? Do you have any box lunches left for these two black ladies? And they go, what? And he turns around, and there's nobody there. And he says, well, you saw him, right? I was talking to him right outside the bathroom. And they said, we didn't see anybody. Hallelujah. Is that good? And we've saved the best to last. In John tells us more detail than anybody else. Remember, he went back to the tomb with Mary Magdalene. And it says that there was an angel at the head and at the foot of Jesus' tomb. Why the detail? Well, based upon this, we're starting to hear something. We're starting to know something. Angels love to worship. Angels love to protect. Angels love to give the message. Angels love Jesus. And when God said to Moses, I want you to make a chest, we'll call it the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of my presence. And inside, I want you to put some manna, some bread. And I want you to put the Ten Commandments, the law. And I want you to put on top what they call the mercy seat, the lid. And on top of that mercy seat, I want you to put two angels, one at the head and one at the foot. Do you hear what the Lord's saying to us? Mary, the body you are looking for, the body that these two angels protected with their wings, is the Son of God and is God and is the mercy seat. And this is where your sins are forgiven. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We come to the mercy seat. We come to where the angels are. We come to where Christ's blood is. We need forgiveness. We need empowerment. We need change. We need you. Lord, I do pray that we will ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and our Savior, our Master, our Boss, our Lover, our Guide, our Shepherd. If you've never done that, know that He loves you. The angels love you. They want to jump up and down for joy. They really do. Somebody just said to me yesterday, God, we often think, wants to be hard on us because of our sin. But instead, you are hard on our sin because of us. You put Jesus at our mercy, Father, so we could find mercy with you. You took our beating so we could take your righteousness and forgiveness. So please know that Jesus loves you and it's been paid in full, but you need to ask God to give you the faith to receive that, to accept that, to own that, to stop fighting, to stop trying it on your own. If you're asking Jesus to save and forgive you right now for the first time, the angels are jumping up and down. They're going, yes! They can see your faith. And God says, and we want others to see it too. So I just ask you, just in the quiet here, nobody else looking around, just if you're asking Jesus to save you for the first time, would you raise your hand and say, yeah, I'm asking Jesus to come into my life. I'm asking Him to be Lord. Father, thank you. We love you. As you partake of communion now in a second, help us know that we're coming to the real mercy seat, to the Lord of Lords, to the God of God. And the angels are surrounding. Help us to confess the sin that we know and receive with a contriteness as well as a gratitude. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. What's interesting here